that a Michael Myers shirt?
Who?
Oh, no.
No, it's... That's Leia.
Oh.
I thought you meant like Austin Powers.
Who thinks that way?
I do.
God. No.
Shrek. I love Shrek. Still love
Mike
Shrek.
Mike Myers. It's not... It's no. Everyone thinks of Halloween. We don't think of Austin Powers.
Actually, Mike Myers, I would think of Austin Powers. Michael Myers, I would think of Halloween. So.
It's true. True, very true.
Good evening and welcome to a new and exciting season of Three and a Half Gentlemen. Usually we're the podcast where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections while one of us tries desperately to keep up. But before we dive into season four of our regularly scheduled podcast, we decided to bring you a few off-brand reviews of some of our favorite things premiering in 2022. Don't worry, we'll still let you decide which host is the half, so please sit back, relax, and join me in the last episode of Volume 1 with my co-host, Jeremiah.
What say you, Eddie the Banished?
Eddie? To Mordor. To Mordor! To Mordor!
The Shire is burning!
Brandon.
And we are about to start our reign of zeros. Let it commence.
Don't put words in my mouth.
It's coming from me.
Zeros right
coming
now.
From me. Oh, that's exactly gosh. What it is. Yeah. Oh, O's. Not even zeros. Just
fresh
O's.
Off our review of Disney Plus Obi-Wan Kenobi, we decided that we wanted to review the latest entry of a television show, which premiered way back in another dimension. I can't even explain it, but it happened, my friends. This means that the hosts will be traveling into the Upside Down for the next few weeks as we bring you a review of Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 1, and Volume 2.
So just like normal, we're going to answer the core question of our podcast, which is how many drinks does it take to get through an episode we've just watched? Each episode will have its own individual score, and at the end of this little segment, we will combine these scores and divide them to give us a season score.
Season score.
Seriously? We'll still rate the episode based on a scale of 0 to 5, and 0 being our perfect episode, and that you can watch stone cold sober, and 5 being the sort of episode that makes you want to get blown into another dimension with the ultimate reveal that you're 0.011. Wait, what?
I just had one job. Yeah, one job.
0.011, right? That's what you guys wanted me to say? Or 001?
Just one. Brandon, take us through the episode.
All right. Well, tonight we have the 7th and final episode of Season 4, Volume 1, entitled The Massacre at Hawkins Lab. This episode finds Hopper braced to fight a creature from the Upside Down. It finds Dustin dissecting Vecna's motives and decoding a message from beyond using a light bright. And Elle finds strength in a distant memory.
Love
Oh, my God. The light bright. Oh, fuck yeah.
Ooh, I love it.
So where should we start?
Yeah, I have a light bright.
Man.
I'll start right here. It doesn't hurt to start off the episode with a hairy shirtless Steve. I'm just saying.
I mean,
it doesn't hurt to start off
with that. Everybody, that's all we care about.
On the brink of like, is Steve going to die?
We got to go Steve. Yep.
So let me start by just saying, so Steve as a character has had such the evolution that if Steve would have died, I'm not sure I would have watched beyond that. Like I might have
gone on
the show and I might have just been like, you know what, I'm not gonna do this, I'm done.
I love how it's you know, this is an hour and a half episode, right? So
how they all are.
We all know like, oh, there's two more, but they did this very, very well with just episode 7, how it's supposed to start, right? And you jump right into that next scene and you're like, okay, what's happening? And instantly you get Nancy, her badass self, and her two comrades. Yeah. And she beat the shit out of the – just Steve's like seeing like stars now. Like he's strangled. He has these bite marks. Like he has rabies, right? That's what Robin said. So he has rabies. And this is like, okay, well, it's – and then you have Nancy out of nowhere with a bat over or oar or something. She just whacks
And Eddie, away. Dude. Eddie actually came to the rescue as well, man.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, see,
it was cool.
Eddie showing up and helping, just to me, it reiterates how great that character is, because he could have very easily stayed in the boat. He could have gone back with Dustin. There's so much other stuff they could have done with his character, but the fact that he went to the in between, there I go again, the Upside Down, and fought the bats and realized the power of the bats, and that's, you know, obviously like a call forward or call back, however you want to do it, to the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. But you have him as this character that, to me, has never had friends, has never had a tribe, and now he's going to bat for his tribe. And I think that's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool evolution.
Yeah.
In a very short period of time.
No, for me, right. For me, it is that call ahead, and I know it's kind of a spoiler. We're going to talk about it when we get to the nine. But when he says, I didn't run away, right? When he says that in nine, and it harkens back to this moment too. He didn't swim away. He didn't run away. He dove in there. Mm-hmm. And even if his motives mm-hmm. weren't necessarily, I don't know, what we want them to be at this point, it evolves into nine where he makes that choice on his own. He doesn't run away. And whether he's gone or not, depending on our conspiracy theories, he ends his life feeling good about himself. And man, that to me is something so important that they do give Eddie, and I love it so much.
You know, I'm building off of what Brandon says, but with Eddie, he has something that he's fighting for now, right? He's never had that, like what you guys were saying, Sean. But it's friends give you confidence, right? That's all you need is a little push. You know, you guys all gave me confidence, right? At the time when I felt like I was afraid, but all of a sudden, the more I was around you guys, my confidence grew. It's like, I could do this too. Like, okay. And that's all it was. Steve did it. Robin did it, Nancy did it, and then he's like, okay, well, fuck it, I'm doing it, mm-hmm. right? Like, all he needed was a little push towards the right direction. He's a great guy, but he's just never been given the right opportunity.
Yeah.
But I actually like Dustin in this episode just as much, and I think everyone needs a friend like Dustin, the guy that actually believes in everyone and believes in so much and actually has so much information that sometimes you just need to, like, stick around and actually listen to him. I love that part where he goes, like, kind of finds out what Vecna is doing. He goes, making a powerful psychic connection to rip a hole in time and space. I mean, that is just genius of how he figures it out. And I'm just going to say this, man. Season 5, I wouldn't be surprised that's the theme where it's going to be time travel and shit, because it almost kind of did this in this episode with Nancy in the Upside Down world.
Yeah.
So, and I think you're right, Jeremiah. Encapsulates one line that he says is like, how many times am I going to have to put everything together and be right before you guys trust me? Like,
yes. Oh God, I love when he says that, like, they can't be that stupid.
The light bright.
Yeah.
The light bright
tone.
Yeah. Oh. Well, just, you know, yeah. Like, I overestimated them. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah.
So you've got Steve and company down in the Upside Down. They run into the forest to avoid the bats. They're lost. They stumble, you know, stumble around. They find their way into, I guess it would be
Nancy's house.
Nancy's house.
Skull Rock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, it's Skull Rock first.
Skull Rock right? first, and then Nancy's
yeah.
house.
Yeah. They went yeah. to go get guns at Nancy's house.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Just. They hear something. It's an earthquake happening, right? Or something's happening. It's almost like it's opening up.
I heard like the devil coming out of there.
I think it's what's the main villain that could be
the Mind Flayer.
The Mind Flayer. He's awakened. He's around.
So, because I think that it's pretty clear that in season 5 we're going to see Demogorgons. We're going to see Mind Flayers. We're going to see. I mean, it's going to be everything that we've seen previously plus Vecna. That's what we're going to see in season 5 as a villain. Everyone's going to have someone to fight.
Well, I just want to talk about one part of this episode that just really put joy in my heart. I feel like this episode paid homage to the first season, where you yes. see the side and they're communicating with the lights,
yes.
and you see like how it's communicated from the Upside Down world. And I think that was just like a nice throwback to chapter 1, like just how that was just done.
And the
so
light bright was brilliant.
What do you guys
high
think?
Five, high five.
Yes.
Oh, not yeah. only was it brilliant though, but I thought it was brilliant that they could hear Dustin.
Yes.
And once again, Dustin has one of the great lines. What, you can't use the water gate? And it's like, well, it's a gate in water. Like, he's just putting
yeah, Robin's
shit. He's literally labeling
smart,
shit. Smart, and everyone's like,
smart little asshole.
Yeah.
But I love how Nancy also, she was able, it clicked in her head too. It's like, Will was able to communicate to Joyce. So mm-hmm. we could do it too with this whole,
right.
the light, right? There's this connection. And instantly Nancy clicked and she's like, okay, well, we could do this. And it was cool to see that communication mm-hmm. with the whole light and Nancy, with Nancy leading that on the Upside Down and Dustin leading on the up down. Yeah.
So I want to
just the regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about something that I think is going to be important in season 5. And you guys kind of talked about it with time travel and things like that. But I do think that it's important that we're 3 years behind. right? That's not just to throw a little wrench in the day that Will left, right? I don't think it's just to throw a wrench and say, oh, there's no guns here. Like, there's something going on with the fact that we have that time lapse in the Upside Down. It's 3 years behind. I don't know if that's how we're going to possibly, spoiler alert, save Eddie.
Did I miss this? Wait.
You didn't see that
she's
part?
She's looking for guns.
She read the diary. The diary. Yeah, so the diary is dated 3 years before that moment.
We know who's the half this episode.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So they're 3 years behind. The Upside Down is 3 years behind where they are. That's why she doesn't have guns. She looks at
the day that Will,
got taken. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's going to be important in... No, it's not.
I know.
But I do think that there's something to that. What do you guys think?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, no. So this is the first time I'm hearing about this because I'm dumb. But you're telling me that I just want to clarify something.
Yeah, yeah.
So Will got taken into the Upside Down 3 years previous to where they are in the Upside Down?
No,
the exact same time when Will got taken.
That's the last entry that Nancy has.
It's like stuck in time on that particular day.
Exactly. So the Upside Down has not progressed since the day that Will was taken.
Correct.
That's correct. Yes.
So there's got to be something to that, right? Okay.
Time travel.
So here, yeah. Well, this is what I'm thinking. So this is always my confusion, right? So at the end of this episode, we find that Vecna is blown into the Upside Down by Eleven.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He finds the Demogorgon. He gets blown into the Upside Down. The Upside Down therefore pre-exists Vecna's arrival. He finds the Demogorgon. He finds the Mind Flayer. You know, we don't. Hopefully, we have some answers as to that.
Yeah.
But what I guess my question is how old is the Upside Down and where did it come from? Is that something we're going to find out,
no.
Or is that something that's going to go into the time?
I think it's a parallel universe.
We'll find out a little more about Volume 2 regarding to what he did and how he actually was able to kind of create this perfect environment, as he spoke about on Volume 2. You just see him getting put into the other dimension at the end of the episode. So it really
creates
really
the mind
break
flare.
It down to like, you know, what he's doing. He creates the mind flare, but he also, I believe, he creates the opposite of what he thinks of what Hopkins should be looking like from his point of view.
I think that's it. I think that it's a parallel.
Yeah. It was a little brief of what he was explaining on Volume 2, which we'll be talking about in a few weeks from now.
Yeah.
But, you know, more into detail. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
So do you think we've adequately covered Steve and gang?
We
in
could
the upside
keep
down,
talking about this for hours.
Storyline?
Yes, no, we can move on.
Sean, it's also on episode 7. It's the 35-minute and 18-second mark. Just give you a heads up if you want to go back to this.
Yeah, I will.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah,
that's what he's looking for on that one. Guys, I want to talk about that one scene. This is probably one of my favorite scenes in the episode where you see the crew riding their bikes in the real world, right? And the camera does
the
this
flip.
Completely flip
yes.
over to the Upside Down world.
They
and
do
you
this
see
a couple
the,
times.
Our other crew in the Upside Down riding their bikes. But that
Brilliant.
Was so fucking awesome.
You
I was
get
just
a little bit
loving
of the,
it, dude.
But that's the with the kids, with the parents, with going back to what Brandon was saying, you get a lot of the parents these past couple episodes, which was good to see. Because it was like, about time parents freaking come into this Stranger Things world. But you also get the, I don't know, I'm going a little off with Goonies, but you get a little Goonies vibe of, you know, them popping the tire. I know they deflated it. And they're taking the bites and taking off. Yeah. Right?
I loved it.
I loved it. How Jeremy was talking about you flip the scene and they're running the same exact time of the, hey, you have bites in the Upside Down on top of this dimension. Yeah.
Now, cinematographically, it's fantastic.
A great scene. That was a cool scene.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But,
cinematographically,
and just,
it was.
Just one of the things that I've always been critical of with this show just got solved by you guys telling me that it's 3 years different, is what they do in the in-between, in the Upside Down should affect what they do over top and vice versa, right? So when they touch lights or when they do something with electricity, they're directly having a communication. So if they take the bikes in the Upside Down, hypothetically, it should alter the bikes
Robert Zemeckis. Jesus.
The reason it doesn't is because
is
because of the time shift. So that does solve that problem
Link is broken. Yeah.
There
the link
you
is
have
broken
it.
A little bit.
Okay, they've been talking about Back to the Future and so many reference in this series. I mean, it's just going to only happen by next season. Yeah. I'm just saying, yo.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Was it? It's a spiral.
It's skewed into a timeline.
Hey guys, question. Is this the first return of the Demogorgon? Is this the first time we see him since season one, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we had the Demodogs. We had the Demodogs in season two. Yeah.
We had that Mind Flayer in season three.
Yeah, I think it is.
That wasn't the Mind Flayer. Was that the Mind Flayer, or was that like a little version?
That was the
Mind Flayer.
I'm not sure what it was.
It was freaking creepy as hell. Yeah. That's all I
So mean. This
it's
is the return this is the return of the Demogorgon, right? So yeah. Basically, man, that Demogorgon was fucking shit up, man. What do you guys think?
We need to talk about that.
We have the reuniting
of Hop and Joyce. And I don't care what you think of these characters, and like, we all want to root for the young kids to go, and you know, we want that screen time, but fuck it. When the old people get together, that was an emotional moment for us all.
I loved it.
The old people. Yeah. Since the beginning of the show, the Russia storyline has been my least favorite. And quite frankly, it turned into one of my favorite storylines as the show progressed, because I turned into loving Murray. I loved the joy. I love Joyce. I love the Russian relationship and the jokes and the lightheartedness. But then that you had Hopper literally struggling for his life. But then you also had like Fight Club, we're gonna fight the Demogorgon, like that kind of concept. Like the whole thing just kind of came to life, and it connected the worlds in a way that I was like, I don't know how you're gonna do this. I don't know how you're gonna do this, but they ended up doing it well.
So Hopper, you get a little bit of okay, what he's planning on doing with the alcohol. With instantly, you remember he is like, oh yeah, fire. They don't like fire, right? Like he somehow was able to pull that in. And it was like, oh, this guy is like, he's ready. He has one tool. One weapon that actually could be a cool weapon is it's fire. And I love, this is the probably the best Russian scene, Russia scene, but oh, the last episode was pretty cool too.
But till
that last episode, this is probably the best one. And here, this Demogorgon's just ripping heads apart. Mm-hmm. That was pretty like intense, right?
It reminded me like Mad Max, like I mean, just kind of that concept of anarchy, just the world's falling apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Mad Max. Good point there.
I love the relationship.
And then Hopper saved by Joyce.
I love the relationship that's developed between Dimitri and Hopper. That's, to me, is one of the best evolutions of this entire season. And I think that we have so many good evolutions. But the fact that he becomes an ally, and we see him continuously be an ally through episode 8 and 9. I just love that development. I thought that the conversation, I can't remember if it was this episode or if it was in episode 6, where he explains, you know, why he picked a fight and why he, you know, lifted the lighter from the guard. I thought that was such a beautiful moment between two people becoming friends, right?
Yeah. Episode, yeah.
Just so well done.
Well, he's like, was it worth it? And it's like, yes, it was.
Yes, it was, my friend.
Yeah, because last episode was the Last Supper. Yeah. But this episode, he actually, and he talks about being a father to Elle, mm-hmm. and like he knows he can't really help her, but he realizes, okay, well, maybe I'm here for a reason.
Yes.
I'm actually here to defeat this Demogorgon who possibly could help Elle in a small way.
Yeah.
I love how he took that as a, and it became kind of religious too, right? Like, because Dimitri's like, oh, all of a sudden you're religious, right?
And Hop as a character has always been a very complex and played very complexly by David Huber. So you don't really know his past other than the flashbacks and some of the innuendo. You don't really know what happened to his daughter. You kind of know obviously she passed away. You know his wife no longer with him. You know he was kind of in shambles, and that you have the L storyline that repaired his life. And I think that as a character, he's so mysterious that his convictions are so great. Just over a girl, you know, a little girl that he didn't really know that well. And I think that's an interesting little, it's an interesting little character and concept for to stretch out over five seasons, four seasons, you know? So far.
But yeah, you get that little glimpse in this episode when he meets Joyce and Joyce just hugs him. And it's almost like he doesn't know what that feeling is, you know? but he remembers it. And it's a beautiful shot where in the music, it just captures that moment where you're just like, this is heaven. This is exactly, I remember this, you know, this is love. This is my heart. And
it's been a year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a year.
It's been 100 and something days since they left. So let's say 200. Yeah, so let's say a year. Say close to a year.
And not only, but it's also during that year. I mean, she has thought that he's dead. He has no idea what's going on with her and if she even made it out of Russia. So in a lot of ways, you know, it's been a year, but it's been longer than a year for these guys, you know. And the fact that they have that reunion, and it's everything that you want it to be. It's not overblown. It is, I think, understated in a beautiful way. It's just a hug. And if it had been anything more than that, I think it would have ruined the moment. But the fact that they just kept it restrained.
And I was reading a lot on Stranger Things in general, and everyone, you know, the critics, the highbrow critics that think they're, you know, all that and a bag of chips.
Them.
It's like, they're like, oh, it's just fan service. They're just giving the fans what they want. It's like, fuck you. The fans deserve certain elements. It's just frustrating to listen to these highbrow critics criticize a show for being a little bit nostalgic and a little bit, you know, a little bit predictable.
Fuck, it goes from one year to that one year. Who gives a shit about these fucking critics, man?
It just drives me
crazy. When you watch something like this, what it does to you, how you feel inside, fuck, that's the reason why you watch it, man. So fuck right. those critics in so many ways, man.
Well, and it goes back, everything I think about with this goes back to Lord of the Rings, and it goes back to what Sam told Frodo. The stories that are worth telling are the ones that stick with you and that hold inside, and you live with the characters, you carry it with you. And this is that type of story. We're living with the characters. I really do believe that.
Well, it's one of those things where, and I was talking to my wife about it the other day, and when she was like, well, you've never really loved 1 through 3 seasons. Why do you love season 4? Because all I talk about here is this season. And I said, it's because finally I feel like I'm not just watching characters. I'm watching, you know, it's that stupid cliche thing, but they've become friends. They've become more than just characters on a screen. When they hurt, I hurt. When they triumph, I triumph. And I feel so much more connected to them. And maybe it's because this is the first time I've like truly binged the shit out of this season or the show. I don't know what it is, but what the Duffers have done with these characters is make us not just like them, but literally experience life through them.
We haven't talked much about Papa and Elle and the Nina Project, right? And how I think it's Owens. It's like, we need to speed this shit up, right? Like, come on. You said I gave you time and I risked my whole life. And Papa's like, okay, let's do it. And I feel like Papa's almost ashamed. This is where I feel like the first time Papa's kind of good, because he's ashamed of this video, because it shows, you know, they record everything, but it shows Papa pretty much putting this thing on the neck of 2, but he has to do it because this whole video, it will jumpstart L with what happened in you know, she thinks she killed all these people, but it happened, like, who's responsible for this? And it needed a jumpstart.
I'm gonna pull a Sean
of who you are, L. And
yeah, it's sins of the father right there. That's what situation is.
It's a weird, like, but it's almost like the only good part of, like, it's about damn time, Papa, that you don't
see shame.
Freaking video, man. You should have showed this.
I don't see shame. I don't see shame. I see.
Why didn't he show that video earlier then?
Well, this is what Owens wanted. Owens wanted him to just go straight into that. And he wanted her to, I think it's because this thing of Papa has this idea in his head that it has to be almost like an art. I think it's an art form. It's not something that can be forced. It's something that has to develop and has to be beautiful. And Owens just wants results, because, I mean, if we jump ahead to, was it 8, right?
She is taking steps backwards.
She is, but at the same time, Papa is willing to risk Hawkins being destroyed completely and possibly even the world as we know it destroyed, so that his artwork, his project, can come to fruition.
I think Papa's reluctance is based on his belief that one was corrupted by anger and hatred, which derived his powers, and he did not want that same hatred and anger to derive or to be the source of L's powers. So by showing L that video, it showed L that her anger and hatred toward Vecna, the reason that she sent him into the Upside Down was the source of her power, right? It's the same kind of concept that Vecna was whispering in her ear. And I do believe that Papa wants her to get that power from something other than those feelings, those negative feelings.
I'll piggyback on that one right there, Sean. It wasn't the anger and hate. She was able to see how she was able to use happiness and love to beat one and put him into that another dimension. And that's the power that, you know, that Papa wanted to actually see and remember. It's kind of like the whole Force thing.
He had to show the video first,
right? I believe that was an unexpected byproduct. I believe Elle got there on her own, and it wasn't because of Papa.
Absolutely.
Right. It happened naturally, right? So Papa was afraid of this, but overall it still happened naturally. He was, you know, I mean, I don't know if he was afraid of it, but he was avoiding, because it showed the ugly side of everyone.
Yeah, right.
Right. Of what happened.
And I think that Papa was trying to show or to instill in Eleven restraint, that if she got her powers back at full strength back, she had to have restraint. And by letting her believe that she was responsible for killing the massacre at Hawkins' lab, that she was the one, she was ashamed. She always felt like she, you know, her power was too strong. She couldn't control it. Maybe that was that was his last leash that he had over Eleven.
Well, it just kind of brings it to the end of the episode. And I love how this episode not gives us one reveal, but it gives us three reveals in a lot of ways. Who's Henry Krill? Who's the number one? And who's Vecna? I mean, seriously, it literally does it within the last like 20 minutes. And what's so beautiful about this episode is that this shit's happening over here with 11 and 1. And then the Upside Down is happening at the same time, and how it's going back and forth and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the best episode ever, dude. Seriously. Yeah. What do you guys think?
No, well, okay. So I'm kind of jumping off of that, and that maybe I'm just a little bit behind the times in watching this, and maybe I was just so wrapped up in it. But I was still believing that Elle was responsible for the massacre up until the moment where she pulls the thing out of one Henry's neck, right? I literally was like, oh my God, when is Eleven going to destroy everything? And it wasn't until I realized, oh shit, this bad vibe I've been getting about this orderly is for a reason. He's the one. But I mean, I think that the reveal,
he was creepy.
Watch it.
I knew he was creepy.
Watch this episode again. He is creepy as
creepy as hell.
Like, now that you know, it's like, oh shit.
I was so caught up in Elle being the one. And like we talked about, I think two episodes ago, but that there's a reason behind why she exploded. And maybe it's because she was bullied and that she had to protect herself and save her life or whatever it might be. But they hold off on their reveals so beautifully here, because it's not until the last second that you kind of get this true actual flip. It's that Bruce Willis is a ghost the whole time kind of feeling, because it's like, I didn't see it coming. And honestly, nowadays in movies and TV shows, it takes a lot for me, and I think the world at large, to really feel surprised by anything. And this one pulled it off. And that's another reason why this episode and this season is so fucking good, because Jared's right. Well, there's three reveals all within 8 minutes of each other, and it's just boom, boom, boom.
But not only that, what Jeremiah said is absolutely correct. It's going on in two different time periods. Yes. You're finding out one cohesive story from three different time periods happening simultaneously on the screen, and they don't miss a beat. And I will say this season had a lot of Harry Potter references that were very subtle. And if you
Tom Riddle, dude.
But the best fucking part of Harry Potter is what the movie's destroyed. And that is the last duel between Harry Potter and Voldemort. They didn't fucking duel. They talked for like 20 minutes. And they explained, you know, oh, I did this, but then I countered and did this. And it was like a verbal chess game. And I felt like that's what we got between Vecna and Elle, and with Nancy following young Vecna, and then you also had old Vecna, and then you had it was all wrapped up in this beautiful cohesive story that as an audience member you just sat there and went, what?
Yeah, Jer.
Guys, My favorite part is when you kind of get this Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan like narration that reveals the true villain part. Did anyone get that vibe when you were watching it? The music, it was so fucking great. And I'm just going to give Jamie Bauer, like, dude, he is so, like, when you watch him on screen,
phenomenal
actor. Can't take his eyes off him. Every word he says, you feel his raw, you feel his passion. He can be gentle sometimes, but he can be ruthless at the same time. Yeah. That scene was fucking phenomenal, man. What'd you guys think about that?
And sorry, Brandon, I know you, but you get, and also you get a Vader-esque, you know, come join me.
Yes.
But when he reaches out to
the last
L,
10 minutes.
Yeah, he says, come join me. We can rule the universe together. He doesn't say that. But you have this.
pretty freaking close.
When 11 goes, no, his fucking eyes and his whole demeanor goes, like, well, you left me no choice. It's like, ooh.
Then you will die.
I got chills right there. That's chills.
Brandon, sorry, Brandon.
No, so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the Nancy portion of the reveal, because I think that this is absolutely beautiful, because we see here that she, you know,
the whole time.
He takes her. And it's to do one thing, and that is to bring in L. He wants to make just basically send a message to 11, which I think is interesting, because is he reaching out to say, come join me again? Or is it, I want to destroy the fuck out of you because you basically put me in this place. But the way that they use Nancy, and the way that we see and we understand and we learn the entire situation through her eyes, I think is so well done. It's a way to just give this exposition dump, because that's what it is, but to do it in such a creative and beautiful way.
But she is she is the connection to the Creel house. She was investigating what happened with Victor Creel. She was the one, the natural party to deal
so
with.
So close to solving to it
deal,
on her
right,
own.
Right, to deal with the child version of Creel. And then you have Vecna, who is basically giving the overture of the story. But then you've got Jamie Campbell Bauer as a person, the orderly, also adding his – oh, God – I don't know how the villainous of him came through so subtly and so dangerously. Like you could tell how much he had been building over the course of his life to become Vecna. Like he was always fucking Vecna. Yeah. Always. He was always this murderous asshole.
Yeah. Well, one of the most well-crafted twists that you ever seen in a long time. Hands down, dude.
When he lifts Elle up the ground, though, and she starts to contort her body, and she starts to become one of his victims, and then when she breaks it. But to me, that was so hard, because I'm watching. I know that Eleven doesn't get hurt, because she obviously destroys him, and that, you know, the connection of like, oh, that's why her eyes are bleeding and all that shit.
Mitch, you think though, like, did she break your bone? Maybe she did break your bone.
it was sorry, such an interesting moment, because it showed his ruthlessness, and it showed just how vulnerable Elle really is, but also then how powerful she is in combat to that.
Did you guys expect that? By the way, him going to another dimension, the cause of that? Did you guys even like go, oh shit?
No,
it was almost like that was a byproduct. It was almost like that was a byproduct of what happened, and you really didn't realize what had happened until he was already there and had already established his life in the Upside Down. Like it felt like I didn't know what the fuck was going on, other than Eleven finally was, you know, shown to be more powerful.
Like an idiot.
And by the way, not a mass murdering psychopath. Yeah.
No, like an idiot. I didn't see it.
You guys had me last You guys had me last episode thinking, when Papa comes in, what have you done? And you guys made me think, like, maybe he was like curious of like, how can you do that again? Like you open up another dimension. He was more pissed off. Like, what did you do? Like I watched it again. It made me feel like, okay, it wasn't like, what have you done with killing all the people? It was more of, what have you done? Like, why did you just opened up another dimension?
No, I think it's curious.
The ramifications of it. I don't think he was curious. I think I got the feeling
he lost
like,
number
he was
one.
Like,
he lost one. He lost one.
He lost number one, and it was like, what did you just do right now? You opened up a whole another dimension. I don't know what's over there.
I think it's like, oh my God, what have you done?
Yeah,
what could you do?
Either way,
He was pissed off at Hill.
Either way, I believe we need Brennan to come back for season 5, even if he's dead. And I need some overarching answers as to what the fuck.
Who's dead at
Brennan?
Brennan.
Who? Dr. Papa. Brennan.
Oh, Papa.
Dr.
I thought you were saying Brandon.
I mean, I'm here. I'll like, be here.
Fuck you?
I will wait, be here Papa. For 5.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Brennan's here. He's not dead. Yeah, no. Geez, bro. Not
Dr. Brennan.
Thank you.
I need to know what the fuck he was doing with the kids. What the purpose of Hawkins' lab was. I need to know. I really do. If this show doesn't answer that question, it's gonna fall a little flat for me.
I think, wait a second.
It's gonna show. Go ahead.
No, but the thing is that what it's done in this season has gone beyond what we can even possibly imagine and actually come in full circles and actually succeed, man. Like, it just opened up more questions, like, holy shit, you know, more than what we could possibly imagine. So it's like, that's the show that you want to be a part of. Like, it answers the questions and it explores more questions, further the rabbit hole that you're trying to find.
This show parallels Lost a lot. It does. It really does parallel Lost a lot. And I feel like Lost did not give us a sufficient answer as to what the fuck was going on. This needs to give us something. I need something from Stranger Things.
I agree. It's still on that cusp of, like, it's about to give it to you, and you're thinking, like, okay, it has to be to weaponize them. But it's like, I need a little bit more. I need you to say it or something. But you get the feeling of Papa, he's playing chess, right? And he has 11 pieces so far. And each piece, you know, he has some pawns. And he has his queen and his teen. His queen and teen is 1 and 11, right? And he has all these other pieces. So he's playing chess. And I think every single piece is giving him something more to accomplish his goal. We don't know what that goal is yet, but I feel like I'm hoping that they tell us that, because there's this, you get this feeling that he's playing this game or he's trying to figure out a puzzle and he's the only one that's a part of it. Like, it's like, who, like, what the fuck are you trying to do, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, you're up.
No. So what, it was beautiful and it was so fulfilling to me, because in my notes in episode 1 of this season, I literally wrote the question of, like, what really is the Upside Down? Is it a parallel dimension? Is it a parallel world? How much does it parallel? It's funny. One of my questions that I wrote down for myself was, okay, so if we have this parallel world, then who is Vecna's parallel, right? Is it 11? And so what I love is that episode 7 gives us all the answers. It gives us all the answers, right? It gives us everything that we need. And so when you're asking, like, is it going to have the payoff? Is it going to answer the question, Sean? I think 1,000% the answer is yes. And I think that the answer has been building for 5 seasons. And I think that it won't let us down. I really, really don't.
I hope that's true, but I will say one of the things that this episode did beautifully and why it's going to be reflected in my score is that because it answered the question of the season, literally answered the question of the season, the last 30 seconds of the episode, and also set up the rest of volume 2.
Absolutely.
Like in 20 seconds. And so you have this totally satisfied feeling of, holy fuck, now we know who Vecna is. Now we know what's going on. I can't wait to see the rest of it.
Yeah. Very good, right? That's perfect. That's perfectly wrapping up right there. And now that brings us to the end of our review. Now it's time in the podcast where each of the hosts provides his score on the following scale. Eddie, the Banish, can you provide the scale, please? Sorry.
Jeez. Dungeon Master at 1 point. 0, the perfect episode. We don't need shit to enjoy it. 1, a feel-good first trot till. 2, a happy buzz. 3, you're an Uber lift home. It doesn't really matter. We're not going to do 4. Rough.
Do we even
shame.
Need a calculator?
Shit face, spring break drunk.
No, I mean, no.
Shut up, bro. So you're so confident, Brandon. I'll let Jeremiah.
No. Oh, I wanted to take it. Okay.
Okay. Right. So I feel like this is one of the best episodes of the show, and hands down, it's one of the rare chapters that brings the entire series to show itself. And it leaves you breathless, and you just want more and more, because it delivered in such a way that you thought that you would never be able to see it. I mean, for me here, this is my Two Towers episode of Stranger Things for Volume 1. And Volume 2 will be my Return of the King. I love this episode so much. It's one of the most well-crafted episodes that you will ever see on television. Yep. and it was perfect. It answered all my questions, and I wanted more on top of that. So you know what? This is a fucking zero for me. Thank you so much. My two towers right here, a zero.
1,000%.
Brandon, go ahead.
So, Jerry, you said pretty much everything correct except one thing, and that is that this is, you said, one of, if not the best, episodes that you've seen in Stranger Things. And I would say this is one, if not the best episodes that you'll see in TV in general. I think that this was so well-paced. At the beginning of the season, when I realized that I had to binge the shit out of this because we were podcasting this, I looked at the times of each of these episodes, and I was like, holy fuck, an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half. We're not going to talk about episode 9, which is 2.5 fucking hours. And I thought, my God, how am I going to make it through that? And I watched this episode, and you're right, Jerry, I wanted more. They could have added another 4 hours, and I would have sat there and said, thank you so much. This episode... It transcends TV shows. It goes into the importance of storytelling as an emotional connector to the world. And it made me feel something that I needed to feel. And I'll talk about that more at the end of the season. But I needed this episode. This episode was so perfect. It was beautiful. And I don't use perfect lightly. I mean that this episode had everything that we ever wanted. It had the emotional. It had the comedic. It had the heartfelt. It had everything. This is absolutely a zero. I know I got shit last time for my 0.008, but this is perfect. If I could go negative, I would.
This is 0.0000.
There's nothing to infinity. So this is a zero. I don't care who the hell takes it. I better not need my calculator. That's all I'm saying. Or I'll fight you.
Eddie, would you like to be last, or would you like me?
Don't ruin this to me, Ed.
I'll go next.
Eddie has a lot of power right here, man.
Absolute power.
Do that to the fans.
So much power right here.
So there is so much that we didn't even talk about with this hour and a half episode. We didn't talk about Steve and Eddie's like friendship.
Oh, yes.
Kind of bonded over with the awesome conversation they had between each other with Dustin. And like how, hey, Dustin really, like, he said you're badass, but I didn't really believe it until you're really badass. They talked about Ozzy with the whole bat, like you just chewed up a bat. That was so cool. And then this, you just realize like there's like this bond of friendships growing, and it was cool to see. And then we found out later with the mind of Dustin how quickly he can solve these puzzles. It's on another level, man. Like he was able to figure out another dimension, another gate that's open, and to see that beautiful, like, hey, by my calculations, let me just tie this rope together and throw it up. And yeah, oh yeah, it's just hanging there. Like there's like these little scenes that it just takes your breath away. That it's like we didn't talk about, but it's like they're mind blowing. At the same point, it's a very long episode, and I almost want to say also that it's so much. I wanted two episodes in this. In this freaking episode, it was very, very well written. The music was on point. I wanted to see more of Hal. I don't know. I'm trying to find a reason here, but the episode is too perfect.
It was too
don't
perfect.
Do what?
It was too perfect. I swear, if you give numbers,
it was too perfect. But in my opinion, I running up that hill was. I mean, episode 4.
They can both be
it
perfect.
Has it for me. calm down. Okay. there's a lot of questions that need to be answered here. It ends this first volume very beautiful. So in my opinion, it's a 0.05. It's a driplet. It's a 0.05. It's a driplet. I feel like it's almost too
Eddie,
long.
Eddie, I swear to Christ, if you are if you're not joking.
It's a 0.05. It's a 0.05, bro.
No, it's not.
In my eyes, episode 4 is perfect. This was not. There was something missing in this episode. And you know what it was? I realized. I think it was the Russian, the whole Russia episode. It was just it dragged just a little.
Jeremy,
bit.
Give me the ability to give a negative. Can I give a -0.05 so we balance this shit out?
It's a 0.05.
You've already given your score, Brandon.
It's a 0.05.
Sean,
bro.
Save us. Point negative.
It's a driplet.
I think it's kind of funny. Like, it has to just be one zero in one series episode. It's like, I just don't get it, guys.
It's a driplet. I don't know.
Audience, I'm just going to let you know, we will never have a fucking zero in any episode in this fucking podcast. I'm just saying. It will never
happen. We haven't done 8 and 9 yet, but at the same fucking time, 7 was perfect, yeah. Ed.
Is this better?
Better than 4?
Is this better than 9, in your opinion? Is this better than 9?
This is the Empire Strikes Back of the episode, dude.
Stop. Eddie, you cannot compare the episode.
I'm not comparing.
It doesn't matter. They're all in the same league. 4.
So in my eyes, 4 was better. It's a perfect episode.
No, that's fine. That's fine. What I'm saying is that in my opinion, this episode, episode 4, episode 8, and episode 9 are all perfect.
Yeah,
they all.
So you're comparing episodes.
No, what I'm saying is they're all different, but they're all perfect.
He doesn't have just a 1-0 to dole out. He can dole out more than 1-0.
Right.
I understand that. Right. And I never said I can't. I never said
that. I respect you.
I'll go. So obviously, you know, this episode is a zero for me, and it's a zero for three reasons. The first reason it's a zero is because it gave you everything that you ever wanted from a Stranger Things episode. This is why you watch television. This is why you get invested in television shows. The second reason is because I think it was acted. I keep going back to this, but to watch these kids develop into these actors, and to have Steve and, like Eddie was saying, Steve and Eddie having this conversation in the woods where he realizes Dustin, you know, hasn't replaced him, but just still idolizes him, and they're like best friends. That connection is what the show is all about. It's about different casts, different classes of kids coming together and defeating evil. And only in this situation, on this type of show, can you get it. And it's nostalgic and wonderful and beautiful, and the music is wonderful. It was not too long. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And the third reason that it's a zero is because this is the greatest twist that I did not hear one spoiler about this shit. It was a twist and a half that just made you go, what? And when you can do that to someone who watches 1,000 television shows, you've done something pretty special. So it's a zero for me. When you combine the scores and divide by 4, what does episode 7 get an average rating of there, Eduardo?
It definitely puts it on top of the leader scoreboard. It's a 0.0125.
Okay, and so Jeremiah, why don't you go through volume 1, where every episode, starting from the top to the bottom, where every episode rounded out.
Wait, what was the episode again?
0.0125.
It's number 1.
So quit moving your mic, Brandon.
I'm too pissed right now.
So, audience, the number 1 episode is actually, so far for volume 1, is episode 7, 0.0125.
Hey, we all win.
Yeah, I don't care. Then the second episode is a 0.02, which is number 4. Third episode will be episode 1, which is a 0.4563. And then episode 2 is a 0.5313. And then the last couple episodes that we have here in our thing is episode 6 is a 0.9375. And then episode 3 is a 1.175, which makes the last episode in our season, Stranger Things, Volume 1. Which is episode 5, 1.22. So there you have it. That's where it's at. We'll see what happens in volume 2. Maybe we have a 0. I don't think it's going to happen, my friends. Here we go.
Get better. Get better.
If you enjoyed our review or a fan of the podcast, we ask that you please subscribe or you're listening. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at @thegentlemanpodcast. You can visit our website at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Or if you want to send us any hate mail because of Eddie's stupidity, you can do so at hosts with an S.
Okay. Well, we're written as Brandon's.
Thank you all for listening. And we promise that we will have some conversations.
Remember, Mike. Remember who shot first, Brandon?
We all like 4.
I knew it was personal. I knew it was personal.
Russia was a little long, bro. I just don't think – I feel like the Demodorgon would have actually killed Hopper. My bad.
I actually am viscerally angry right now.
It's a little fire.
I'm pissed. I'm going to go to bed right now at 1:43.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Welcome
cheers.
To my life at episode
Eddie, cheers,
4.08.
Audience, tune in for volume 2 to see if we actually do a get zero or not. Well, we don't know. Jesus Christ.
Do you know your hatred? Hate leads to hate.
I've got my, to this moment right here is the one that I would use to defeat one. That's how angry I am.
Cool. Yeah.
Cheers, cheers. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Peace out, guys.
Cheers, guys. I think that was our best one yet.
Credit.